With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 27th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Aman. How you doing, Aman?
I am great, Taryn. Glad to be back. I missed this. I missed you, Taryn. I missed doing these, so it's been a little bit, but I'm glad to be back.
I missed you, Aman. I'm glad to have you back. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. It was day 25 in the house, and there was it's really like I feel like the last few days have been like the pot is like boiling and it's like ready to explode, but for some reason it's just like not. And so we're just like, nope.
Yeah, and Chelsea, which we'll talk about, but she's sort of been on the edge of exposing people and then not really doing it, but then saying she's going to do it, but then not really doing it. And it's like a whole will they, won't they saga. And I think that we're all just ready for the big reveal, if there will be one, even if it ends up being inconsequential.
Yes. Tammy in the chat says, someone keeps turning off the heat. Yeah. that, you know, that person is Kira, is if we're being honest. I feel like Kira is also turning the heat back on, but then turning it off and then turning it on. And then like Kira is in charge of the dial, I think is the problem.
Kira has gotten on every last one of my nerves this week. I share the sentiment with a bunch of other frustrated viewers. It's enough. Mm-hmm. It's enough. It's really enough. I don't necessarily think that Chelsea is doing everything in her best interest to stay this week. And I think that's a little too late. Yeah, but Kira definitely, I really wish that she was the one to go, but that's just not how the BB gods are having it this time around, so...
Yes, I guess. Well, let's just get the Kira and Chelsea saga update out of the way right away, so we don't have to deal with it anymore. Basically, Kira. There are a couple times Kira goes and talks to people about her about their crush on Chelsea, which I thought was funny because they talked to Kiki about it, and Kiki was like, "You have a crush on Chelsea? She has a boyfriend and she's straight. What are you doing?" And I was like, yes, finally some kickback. And Kira was like, Kira was super offended. What? Of course I can have a crush on Chelsea. What are you talking? And Kiki was just like, she has a boyfriend. Like, what are you like? Just like chill. Like you've never had a crush on somebody and not had your feelings reciprocated. Kiki's like, no, I like people that like me. Is that so crazy?
I mean, I feel like Kira, it needed to be said. Someone needed to ground her in this moment. Look, you, it's not going to work out. This is her. This is you. You're on two different wavelengths. Like she's good back home. She has a man. Like you need to move on. And I think that she was looking for I'm not sure what kind of response she was looking for from Kiki, because did you want Kiki to say, well, go for it? No,
Yeah, they were like, the way they were talking about it too is the problem is that she has a boyfriend. And Kiki was just like, and then it was funny too, because then Esty came in and Kira was like, Esty, have you ever had a crush on somebody? Have you ever had feelings for somebody that didn't like you back? And Esty was like, no. And Kiki was like, yes, see? This isn't crazy.
I will share the that experience with Kira, in that sure, I've had crushes on people that don't like me back, but usually they're crushes on people that are capable of liking me back and not.
I think the key thing here, the difference here, is that having harmless crushes on people, everybody does. Yeah. That's totally fine. And that's kind of what Kira is trying to defend. But what Kira is talking about is having full on unreciprocated feelings for somebody and pursuing something when that person is not reciprocated. That's what's let's chill.
It was very bizarre. And I'm just glad that Kiki was the one to say, hey, you got to pump the brakes, because it's first of all, it's not cute. Second of all, why? Third of all, we're here to play a game. I know that showmances happen, but it's not happening for you. And you really need to focus. You're going to be here next week. Focus on that. Focus on making your inroads for the upcoming week, because you're on the block again. Come on. And Chelsea's going to be gone. So you really need to start focusing.
And what's funny to me is that Kira also talked to Mark about their crush on Chelsea. And Mark is also another person in the house, one of the few that it was like, Chelsea has a boyfriend, chill. Literally said those words. And I was like, oh, Kiki and Mark.
Yeah, I mean,
these two, so different yet so alike.
Right. She's really gotta move on. And it's very annoying to watch on feeds. It makes me very uncomfortable to watch this conversation, and just the things that are coming out of her mouth. It's just, I don't know. I mean, you guys talked about it on the round table, and that was the first time that I had heard about it. Cause I hadn't really been watching the feeds last week. So when I first heard about the whole drinking comment and trying to kiss her thing, I was just like, I mean, for out of all things that Canada likes to censor, the fact that that sort of slipped through the crack, I was very surprised by that. But I'm glad that it did, because now we sort of have an understanding of just how deep she is in this. And it's not appealing at all.
Yes, so. There's also one last thing, a mini saga here between for Chelsea trying to get out of Kira sleeping with her in the same bed. Chelsea managed to get out of it. And then unfortunately, Kira managed to come up with the excuse that, Esty's sheets are they're damp. So I don't know what's going on with Esty, but her sheets are damp, so I don't want to sleep in that bed. And Anthony tried to step up and be like, "Oh, I'll fix it." But Chelsea saw the writing on the wall and was like, "All right." So Kira is once again sleeping with Chelsea. So that's what's going on. That's what's going on there with Kira and Chelsea. We don't have to talk about that anymore. Let's get back into the game.
Yes.
Chelsea starts the day talking with Adam. Obviously, she remains on the block looking like she's going home. But she talked to Anthony the night before about what should I be doing? And Anthony is trying to convince her that she needs to start throwing her allies under the bus. In particular, what he's hoping for is that she will blow up Sam's game. But what Chelsea is hearing is, I need to blow up Adam's game. And so it's interesting because what Dane and Anthony want her to do is blow up Sam's game. What she's hearing is that she should blow up Adam's game, and what she should be doing is blowing up Kira's game. All kinds of different games to be blown up, and yet none of them are really happening. But she asks Adam basically at the start of the day, like, you know, I kind of feel like I should be throwing you under the bus. Would that be okay? And Adam's like, I guess so. I mean, yeah, I guess that's fine. And so that's going to be Chelsea's game plan for the rest of the day is let's throw Adam under the bus and see where that gets me. And she talks more with Anthony and Dane, and they both encourage her to turn on Sam, throw Sam under the bus. But like I said, she's really interpreting this as, Adam. Yeah, I'll throw Adam under the bus, which is obviously not what they want.
It's Chelsea is probably in a position that I think most Big Brother players and fans and future players truly, absolutely fear. And it's that moment when, I mean, the veto's already out of play. You're still on the block, and there's a mountain in front of you, and you're just trying to figure out a way to get around it or get over it and get to next week. And people have already got it in their minds that you were the person, you're the best person to go. And they wanted to go after Adam, or they wanted to go after Sam. She thinks that she should go after Adam. She probably should go after Kira. But even if she were to do all three of those at once, it's just like, no one really wants to keep her. They just want her there. They just want her to do as much damage as she can before she leaves, because she will be leaving. And it's just like, I don't know how. I've been trying to think in my own mind, like, if I were Chelsea, what the hell I would do in this situation. And I just think it's so far gone at this point. I don't know any argument that she can give that isn't going to change their minds at this point that she is the best person that needs to go. Because even if they submit, because we see this on Big Brother all the time, when someone's back is up against the wall and they come up with a few arguments, some of them are very sound arguments. And we see the people that are trying to be convinced. They're like, yeah, you know what? So-and-so brings up a lot of good points, but she's still got to go. And it's just like, I don't know. It's sad to me because I did think that she was someone that would be a pretty good contender at the beginning of this season, but she's in a pickle right now. And I don't see any way out of it. I really don't.
Yeah. Chelsea's situation kind of makes me think of, like, I don't like, you're playing a game. Let's say it's like chess or something. Right. And you start playing the game. You don't really know how to play super well. So you just kind of start playing. You're kind of doing okay. And then there's a moment when you realize, oh crap, I've made a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. I did not know what I was doing. Now I'm kind of screwed. And from that point on, instead of like trying to play your best all the way through, you're just kind of like, well, I just screwed it up. So I guess whatever, I'll know better next time. I've learned, but this one is screwed. That's how I kind of feel like Chelsea is, right? Like that's what she's feeling right now, which is like, I thought I was doing well. I just learned, a huge lesson about this game. If I ever play again, I'll know what to do. But right now, what am I supposed to do? Like, everything's all messed up and I don't know how to make this. Like, she's kind of a perfectionist. She's very image conscious. So she's like, mm-hmm. You know, this isn't the game I want to play. The kind of like, oh, I've made a huge mistake and now I need to be the scrappy kind of like hold on by the edge of my, you know, teeth sort of thing. She wants to have like the nicely set up game that she's already screwed up. She can't get back. And so I think it's been taking her a while to adjust to this new situation of hers. And unfortunately for her, that time of adjusting is the time that she needed to be like already adjusted. And even if she gets to the point where she starts making moves, which I do think she might get to, it's going to be too late.
Yeah. I mean, we saw her making a few moves yesterday and it is a little bit too late. And I think that you're right. And that she just once, There is no next time. I think that you just have to sort of get out of that mentality, and all players need to get out of the mentality that there will be a next time, because this is your one shot. And sometimes in Big Brother, that one mistake can send you home. So if you do make that one mistake, you have to learn how to circumvent that. Like, this isn't a beauty pageant, Chelsea. Like, you're not, like, you don't walk out on the runway, wait for the judges to critique you, get your scores, and then go back. Like, the judges are also players. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be in the moment, you have to you just have to be willing to be at rock bottom and then climb. But I just feel like right now she's resolved to like, she's so focused on the Kira-ness of it all and like not trying to be dragged down by that. And it's like, okay, like you realize that's an issue for you. You realize that Kira is a problem. So what are you going to do about that? Are you going to spill the tea? Are you going to tell these people like, hey, like I'm feeling very like, I feel like I haven't had the chance to be open with any of you guys because I've been too afraid of what Kira is doing. But if we were to get them out of there, like I could be an asset for you. Like use that as a ploy to get into the house. Like
she has so much to use and she is either not using it or using it completely wrong. And we'll talk about it as it happens.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We did get further confirmation from Dane as he talked to the cameras that he does plan on taking Anthony to the final two. This is the second confirmation we've had of this. Again, this could theoretically change in the future, but this is definitely his plan for now. And this is even more of a confirmation than I believe the last one was, because he's very excited about it. He's like, yeah, me and Anthony, we're the best. We're going to final two us. This is going to be great. So I do believe he is fully enthusiastic about this for now, so keep that in mind moving forward. Chelsea is going to start her plan of throwing Adam under the bus with Mark, so that's going to go great for her. That didn't go great. Kira, in the meanwhile, is going to be talking with Esty and Kiki. Kira is going to be campaigning as well. Esty and Kiki kind of let Kira know, yes, Chelsea's been kind of campaigning a little bit, talking about maybe throwing Adam under the bus a little bit, maybe throwing some people under the bus a little bit. And Kira is like, oh, Chelsea's campaigning after everything she did to me? And so Kira is going to start hardcore anti-Chelsea campaigning. Their line for the day is going to be, you know, Chelsea is super wishy-washy. You know, she was saying one thing the other day, still going after Dane. Now she's going after Adam. She's just like Mackie, throwing out names everywhere and targets. Look, what you need to do, let me explain this to you guys. What you need to do is just be consistent, like me, and calm and trustworthy. So that's going to be their line, and they're going to say it to most of the people in the house throughout the day. But it starts here with Kiki and Esty, and so that's the line here.
I just wish when she was saying that, I really wish that Caitlin was back in the house to let her be like, well, what you've been doing is what got you on the block. You know what I mean? Like, obviously that's not working for you. And why is she the one to stay? Because people are just going to, why are they the one to stay? I really need to fix that. I just feel like people are placating them the entire time. And I'm trying to think, like, are they really the best person for them to for everyone else to stay in the game? Like, coming from you, Taryn, do you honestly think that Kira is the best person to keep this week?
I I do. For the people in power, I think it's the right move because they're less likely to win competitions. I think Chelsea will do similar things. But there is definitely a case to be made for Chelsea to stay, especially for some of the people on the outs. But even for the people in power, because Kira is a dangerous player in the sense that they are similar to Chelsea and would probably come after some of the guys at some point. And they are dangerous in the sense that they are likely to get dragged to the end and will not be much of a target, whereas Chelsea probably would be a target. Ultimately, I would probably make the decision to take Chelsea out here if I had the choice. But I think there are lots of things Chelsea can say to really paint Kira as a big target to a lot of people, including something that we'll talk about very soon, but hey, Kira is convinced there's a guy alliance. Hey, Esty and Kiki, Kira hates you, Kiki. Kira thinks that you're a virgin, and thinks that you need to man up and kiss them. Hey, Eddie, Kira hates you. Hey, you know, like all over the place. Like there's so many things that she can be doing to drop the hammer on Kira. And all she's saying is, Kira's like a shadow and I can't get rid of them. And I just want to play this game without a shadow, you know?
I just feel like if I were in the house and I'm trying to think about it as objectively as possible and not just, you know, all about how much of an annoying person Kira is. I just feel like for the reason that you just said and that she is someone that people are going to want to drag to the end. They're always going to be the pawn. They're always going to be put up on the block. They're like, if you want somebody else to go home, like if you're sitting next to Kira, you're probably the next one out. Why do you want that person there? I guess I'm just so sick of that one person that is all endlessly used as a pawn. I would just want that person out because then it forces everyone else to actually It forces everyone else to show their cards. And in this particular situation with this house, with the pretty boys running everything, I just want there to be something, a magical moment where everyone, because people are starting to catch on to the pretty boys now. I just want that big aha moment where it's like, oh, okay, these four, like for whatever reason, these four keep avoiding the block. These four, like, They never seem to want to go after one another. They're always protecting one another. Like, why? I just want the pretty boys to be exposed. I want Kira gone. I want the pretty boys to be exposed. I want Chelsea to get her stuff together. I just want it all to happen. And it's just annoying. It's very frustrating to watch. It really is.
Believe me, if Chelsea stays on this track until her eviction, when I speak to her, I will do my best to give her a Julie Chen moment with Marcellus, where I virtually hit her over the head with my notes and go, Chelsea, why didn't you throw Kira under the bus? You had so much information.
So much information, so much, because Kira really is, she's very unaware about it, you know, just how much they spew and how much they talk badly about other people and then turn it around and be like, oh, well, how could you ever say that about me? How could you do this to me? Like, they're very unaware about that. And it's an endless fountain of ammo that Chelsea could use. But
yeah,
she's a shadow.
Well, Kira is going to, in some ways, throw themselves under the bus a little bit in this conversation with Kiki and Esty. And first of all, they want to know from Kira if Kaylin was really the target the whole time last week. And Kira says, yeah, as far as I'm aware, which, by the way, it contradicts what Kira has been telling them for an entire week now, which is that they were in the dark about the plan. Kira also says that Adam ran the HOH, but this conflicting information is really going to, you know, taint the rest of what Kira tries to tell Kiki and Esty, because it's clearly Kira's a liar one way or another, because this is conflicting information from them. So they also talk about, hey, there's a guy alliance, I think. Just watch out. Watch for it. In the mornings, the guys always meet up in secret. Keep an eye out for it. Think about it. When has a guy nominated another guy? And they were like, Damian Mackey. And they're like, here's what I think happened, though. I think that Damian wasn't a part of the guys thing, and now he is. I'm like, okay. And so they're kind of playing along here for a while. But ultimately, the conclusion is, so what we need to do is get Eddie out. That's with all this information, that's the game plan, right, guys? Yeah, good job. All right, break. And then after Kira leaves, Esty and Kiki agree, Damien is definitely not part of the guys thing. That's definitely not true. Also, Kira's a liar, and we can't believe anything that they say.
It's like you could have a PowerPoint of, you know, day one. Adam and Dane came together and formed this little two-person alliance, and then they tacked on Mark, and then they tacked on Anthony. So these are the people that are sort of the social nexus of the house. And in conclusion, we need to get Eddie out because we need to get Eddie out.
He's sketchy.
I mean, maybe the brigade was really onto something. Maybe this really is this is just a foolproof. Because even if they did try to expose them, all they're going to do is deny it. All they're going to say is, hey, like, that's not true. Like, I mean, Dane is easily going to say to Kiki and Esty, like, hey, like, it's the three of us. Like, I don't know what's going on over there, but like, we're solid. So just be solid. And then, as long as you continue to placate one of them and go after Eddie, like, it just seems like it's really foolproof right now. It's interesting.
Yeah, Esty and Kiki, their eventual conclusion later in the day, they're going to be talking with Dane, and Dane's going to do his usual thing of, like, we need to keep Adam around for a while because he's a target. It needs to be Sam, and then Kira, and then Eddie, and then whatever. And after he leaves, they're kind of like, he's never going to take out Adam. And they're like, that's fine, though. We'll just do it. That'll be our job to take out Adam eventually.
Do you think it's, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt in that it's like, okay, we can, obviously, like, Dane wants to keep us around. We're fine in Dane's eyes. So as long as Dane is cool with us, then we should be good. Then in the eventual future, we will go after Adam. Or do you think that they're really just cool with being the add-ons?
They really do want to go after Adam eventually, but they want the final, like, four to be them and Dane and Anthony or something along those lines, because Anthony is so amazing. It's bad. They even brought up the brigade to Dane. They were like, hey, remember the brigade? Poor Brittany, right? Right, Dane? Somebody in the chat was just talking about it. They genuinely, like, everybody sort of sees what's going on because of either overhearing things or seeing signals or just figuring it out because they're not good at hiding it, that, hey, there's probably some sort of guys thing going on, but everybody thinks that their guy is more loyal to them than the guys thing. And oddly enough, the one person that that's not true for, the one person that nobody trusts at all, Mark, that nobody thinks is their guy that will be loyal to them, is perhaps the only guy willing to turn on those other guys. So it's just, it's very, very bad reads from the house. I do think you have to give credit to Anthony, Dane, and Adam to some extent as well, for having this set up and working it well, that, that the twins do love Anthony and that they do love Dane, and, that Chelsea and Sam did kind of just be like, oh, you know, Adam's our lovable goof. It's working.
It is working. It's annoyingly working, but it is working. And I think I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes because if your goal is to get as far as possible in the game and keep a solid four with add-ons, then I mean, I guess this is the way to do it. I do think that they're being helped by the fact that a lot of these house guests are very acquiescent. They just lay down and just go with the plan. So I think that they're aided in a lot of that. Because I mean, I feel like if they were in a house full of, I'm trying to think of like the most rebellious players in Big Brother history.
Big Brother 10.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I feel like, but even then, they just kind of self-destructed too. But like, I just feel like if you were in a house, for the sake of argument, if you were in the house of like full of like Libras and Keishas,
yeah,
then this would not, it would not work. Hopefully, but yeah, it's a lot of the time when I'm listening to Anthony speak, he's really not even he doesn't really make too much sense. Like I walk away from his conversations, like okay, well. So what? Like, so I you would think that it would be blaringly obvious to these people, but it's not. And even to the people that do have an inkling, honestly don't know.
Think about how well this has worked now, you know, and you know, it could totally blow up. So we're not counting our chickens before they hatch, but think about how well this is working for an all guys thing. And think about how obvious it is that it's all guys. And now think about what if you did this mixed gender? How much more difficult would it be to sniff out? Because you can't just immediately snap to guys or girls or whatever, because if it's just four random people secretly working together, then, you know, you got something. And that's kind of what the first five had going on, but they were not even close to this level of sophistication, which I don't think pretty boys and sophistication should be said in the same sentence, but they're using the sophistication of the brigade. And, you know, honestly, even the brigade weren't that sophisticated, but it was a very sophisticated plan. but for first five did not have this, this level. And, you know, level six is definitely something that that is interesting. But what happened with level six is that they were a secret alliance that everybody else in the house were part of the other alliance. So it wasn't that secret. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's so effective about this is that they are integrated into every single part of the house. That's what I'm talking about. Just make it mixed gender, and it'll be even harder to figure this out. It'll be an even better version of this alliance.
I mean, honestly, I mean, just based off of the things that I've seen on Twitter over the past week or so, and everyone's like big, you know, annoyance with this season, with the Pretty Boys, I'm like, honestly, in the event that you make it on the show, like, wouldn't you want to try and do the same thing? Like, I know it might be the same old tired. You wouldn't want to bore the audience and get into this four person alliance and then run the game. But like, are you here to win or are you here to make the audience happy? You know, and yeah. I feel like a lot of people forget that when they're critiquing the way these people play this
honestly
game.
I encourage people, go on the show and be an Anthony, just an unrepentant villain that laughs at everyone's favorites being snowed. It's making people very annoyed right now, but I'm very, very just happy that we have a villain on the show that's like a true villain again. So, you know, go for it. All right. So continuing on through the day here, Kira is going to talk with Damien. Damien has a bit of a saga today too, where he's kind of like playing detective. It's almost like we're, you know, he is like a detective. He's not the main character of the story, but he's like a side character detective who's trying to figure something out. And it's one of those tragic detective tales where he never finds the answer. Damien is going to go. First he talks to Kira, asks Kira about the attempted vote flip last week. Do you know anything about this? Do you know who started it? And Kira's like, sorry, I don't know anything. I'm not the person to ask. I didn't hear anything about it. I just kept being reassured that Kaylin was leaving. And Damien's like, okay. So then he goes to Esty and Kiki. Esty and Kiki, do you know anything about the vote flip last week? Did you see anything? Did you hear anything? Where were you on the night of Thursday? before the vote. And they say, no, we heard it was Sam, that Sam was talking to Kaylin a lot. Like this is the Law and Order style flashback, Sam and Kaylin sneaking off into a room. And they're telling the truth. That did happen. And so he's like, okay, hearing it's Sam. And he's going to go to Sam. He's going to ask Sam, okay, Sam, do you know anything about this vote flip last week? And Sam says, oh yeah, there was one, but I put an end to it. I put an end to this vote flip. And I'm picturing this like it's Law and Order. And from the Damien perspective, it's like all these different pieces of information. He's trying to piece it together. Now, Sam is saying that she's the one that stopped the vote flip. And she says, yeah, there were people coming to me saying, you know, things like Damien is coming for you. And this is the key. This is the key. Anthony is the one. Anthony is the one that said this to her, but she doesn't drop Anthony's name, and I don't know why. And so ultimately, Damien is left with nothing. No information on Damien, or on Anthony, I should say. He reaches a dead end there. He goes to Chelsea later. He asks Chelsea about it, and Chelsea says, no, I don't know anything about it. Because she doesn't know anything about it. Sam was the person that was supposed to tell Damien, but she didn't. And, she's protecting Anthony. Mwah. So, like I said, tragic detective ending to the story.
Honestly, I just feel like Damien is such a... Damien... I'm waiting for him to win this game at this point. even in his failed attempt at gleaning information, I just feel like he's sort of like no man's man. And he's... just able to like just kind of float around this, how just think about what he would have been able to do with that information had he had it, like the amount of damage that he could probably do, the amount of like people that he could probably like get on his side if he were to actually come, because information is always currency in the Big Brother house. And I just feel like he's like a bomb, like a grenade just waiting to be, you know, be pulling the pin, whatever you do with those things, and just run this house. But he just doesn't really have anybody to play with, or not, you know, anybody that's useful right now. And it's, I'm just waiting for him to get that, go back into Leon's lounge and eventually get that video. Cause we know it's coming. You know?
Yeah. There you go. So, Kira is going to talk with Chelsea, and, finally lets Chelsea know, this big juicy piece of information that Kira overheard Adam, Dane, and Mark talking about previous alliances and their secret hand signals. And then they also caught Dane making such a signal, like they are in an alliance. This is real. They are secretly meeting up in the mornings. They're talking about alliance signals. And then Dane is making signals. This is confirmation. This is our theory come to life. And Chelsea's like, oh my God, I should call a house meeting and call this out. And I'm of two reactions. One is, that's incredibly stupid, Chelsea. Why would you do that with this information? And two is, please do this, Chelsea. Please do this. Please do this. And so unfortunately, Kira's kind of like, should we call a house meeting, though? I don't know if that's the best move right now. I feel like we should hold on to this. And it's like, Chelsea, you're going out of the house. Either use this to your benefit or just blow it up. Please at least do something. But ultimately, the conclusion to this conversation is all right. We'll wait for now.
Stop talking to Kira, Chelsea.
Yes.
Stop Chelsea's talking.
Asking Kira, what should I do? And of course, Kira has none of her best interests in mind.
This is something that's always very frustrating for me when watching Big Brother, when you see two people that are on the same side on the block together and they spend all their time talking about, oh my God, like I'll never campaign against you. Oh my God. You know, like I love you so much in this game. It's like, okay, calm it down. Talk to everybody else, because this person can't do anything for you right now. Like, I agree. I don't think that blowing up the house or calling a house meeting is ever a good idea. What is it going to get you? You know, because the guys are just going to say, you were just joking around. They're just going to say whatever they need to say to get out of it. And then you're the one that looks like you're a loose cannon. Then they want to vote you out even more come Thursday. You need to take this to people that you believe that aren't in that alliance. Tell them about it. Say like, hey, they are together. They are a strong three or four, whatever they are. I am someone that is not, I'm out of the loop. Like, use me, help me stay so I can help you stay. That's what you need to be doing. That is what you should be boring into their heads until the very last minute on Thursday. So they can't escape it. They have to think about it. They have to weigh out all their, you have to force people to weigh out all their options in this game.
Chelsea,
you cannot let them alone.
Chelsea needs to go to Anthony and Dane and say, look, I know you guys have been trying to help me and I've been getting in my own way and I've been trying to be loyal to Kira, but I can't do it anymore. I know that they're throwing me under the bus. Dane, you should know that Kira has been running everything that you guys are talking about back to me and Sam. And you know, they're talking about how they're playing you, how they're making it seem like they're your puppet. And they also apparently they're telling me that they caught you guys making hand signals, that there's a guys alliance and that it's you and Anthony and Mark and Adam, and that they really want to target you guys. And they're just pretending that they're, you know, laying low. And they even tell me that they shouldn't be telling me this because I could blow up their games. But I promised that I wouldn't because we're supposed to be friends. But I've been hearing about things that they're saying about me and I just can't do it anymore. I need to tell you about what's going on. And, you know, you guys have been so helpful to me, and I just, you know, I just want you to know, I want you to know this. I have no loyalty to them anymore at this point. And even if I still leave this house, I want you to know that you should watch out for them because they're trying to play you. Guarantee you that gets Anthony and Dane talking about, whoa, maybe we should be taking out Kira if Kira's going to go around talking about a guys alliance targeting guys, and Chelsea is claiming that she is totally cool with us. There's something there that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I definitely hadn't thought about that before. Like, I feel like, to me, it just seems like Chelsea is numero uno right now. So it just seems to me, it feels like, oh, if Chelsea were to go to Dane and Anthony and expose whatever Kira has been telling to them, to me, it seems like Dane would just be like, okay, well, thank you for telling me. I appreciate that. Like, we'll think about it. They'll probably weigh it back and forth, but then ultimately make the decision to just get rid of Chelsea because Chelsea's the one that can actually do damage. And Kira is the one that probably won't ever beat them. So them trying to form something against the guys probably won't even come to fruition. But I mean, at this point, Chelsea really should just keep all of her options open. So sure, go for it. You know, like I said before, you just have to get people talking. You don't ever want them to, Devon always said this on her season, you don't ever want them to feel like what it could be like in this house without you. So you need to get in their ear. You need to talk to them. You need to give all the information that you have, because I mean, it's tomorrow's Thursday, you know, this is it.
It might not go anywhere, but it also might go somewhere, which is a lot more than where she's at right now. And there's also something about like the fact that Chelsea betraying both Kira and Sam to Dane and Anthony that says to them, at the very least, maybe Chelsea will have a hard time getting back in with Sam because she just betrayed her. Like, there's a lot of different ways that this can help it play out. She can also talk about, again, everything Kira has said about Kiki and all of the terrible things with that, and get Kiki and Esty also kind of thinking maybe we would prefer to see Kira leave over Chelsea. And if the guys are starting to think about it and the twins start to think about it and they come together and they're both more inclined to do this, and you know, she's been doing kind of unintentionally well with Anthony being like, hey, I need your advice, tell me what to do, and he's been telling her what to do, he's starting to feel a little bit better about her. And I don't know, I really do feel like this, like before I saw no light at the end of the tunnel. I saw no way for Chelsea to escape this situation. And now I totally do. But she's nowhere even close to doing it. So it's frustrating.
I just don't think that she thinks like you do. I don't. And I, it's, I mean, you would think that somebody like Chelsea would be good at speaking. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you're a pageant girl. Like, there's a whole. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know anything about pageants, but I think that there's a whole part of the competitions where you are judged on how well you speak and how well you're able to persuade people and get people behind you. Like, use those skills. You know, use whatever's in your arsenal to, you know, play Big Brother. You know, I don't know. It's,
yeah. All right. Well, Chelsea is going to talk to the cameras after her conversation with Kira, and she's mad at Adam. Mad at Adam for this guy's thing. She wants to call Adam out in this house meeting in particular. Really just call Adam out. He's not protecting her. How dare he? He's betrayed her. He's the reason that she's on the block here. And she's right to be upset with Adam. But at the same time, he is probably the only person in the house that actually like wants her to stay. So calling him out, I don't know if that's the right move. She doesn't realize that he wants her to stay. She thinks that maybe he's pretending that he wants her to stay, but he does actually want her to stay. Although he's going to kind of get upset about what's about to happen, which is that Chelsea goes to Sam and complains about Adam and says that Adam's been running Dane with everything and hasn't had her back. Sam is like, what? Adam has your back. And Chelsea's like, no, this guy's thing is real. We got to call him out in the house meeting. And Sam's like, okay, that's fine. Let's do that. And of course, Sam is going to go to Adam and let him know that that Chelsea is feeling betrayed. And then Adam's going to get upset. And Sam and Adam are going to get into some things. We'll talk about it in just a second. Dane is going to talk to Anthony. And they're going to talk about how annoyed they are. They're like, we're trying to point Chelsea at Sam. And she keeps just blaming Adam. It's very frustrating. We're trying to get Sam to blow, or to get Chelsea to blow up Sam's game, and she's just going after Adam. They do feel bad for her, though. I feel bad for Chelsea. It's a bad situation.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to at this point. You know, it's just like watching a little girl bumbling around, like looking for food. It's not a good look at all.
Looking for food, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, like, why, maybe they should just, maybe Anthony should just be like, you know, I'm a little bit more worried about Sam, aren't you? Like, what about Sam?
He, you know, literally had a conversation with Chelsea later in the night where she's like, just tell me what to do, Anthony. And he's like, I'm not going to name names, but you're smart. I think you know who you should be going after here. And she's like, Eddie? It's like, oh my god! You were valedictorian! Come on! And then before they can finish that conversation, guess who walks in? It's Kira! Talking about damp sheets!
She is a damp sheet. She just diffuses everything. It's horrible. Somebody put together a little thing on Twitter. Like, it was like a little compilation of Kira walking into a room and Chelsea getting up and walking out just over and over again. There it is. DVCAN 7 solidified in the video.
Yeah. So Eddie is going to talk to Kira, and Kira does kind of throw Chelsea under the bus in this conversation a little bit, talking about last week and how Chelsea brought up Eddie's name as somebody that shouldn't be trusted. And Eddie then runs straight to Chelsea with this information and says, Chelsea, Kira just told me something that has really hurt my feelings. And Chelsea's like, what? I'm sorry. I'm just totally shocked that Kira would do that. I thought we weren't playing that game. I'm just so thrown aback. This is the worst possible way to handle somebody coming to you saying that they feel hurt by something you said. And your primary concern is, I can't believe I just got betrayed. I can't believe somebody betrayed me and released that information to you that hurt your feelings. I feel so hurt about this. I'm sure Eddie feels great about how hurt you are that Kira did this to you, but you should probably focus on Eddie in this moment. But no, yeah, the entire time it's just like, I'm sorry. It's hard to focus on you, Eddie, because I'm just so surprised. I thought we weren't playing this way, Kira. Wow.
I honestly feel like Eddie thinks that he is like playing the game right now by hearing information and then going back and, you know, talking to the source about it. But it just so happens that the person that he's talking to is about to be the person that's going out. So maybe it just makes him feel better about voting her out tomorrow. But
it very much felt like this is my excuse for voting you out.
Yeah.
Cause I don't think he really cared all that much.
Yeah. I just feel like he had to be involved this week in some capacity. And this was the way that he chose to do it. But once again, yet another opportunity for Chelsea to say, hey, look, I'm sorry that this got back to you, but this just proves how dangerous Kira is as a player. Like, you know, do whatever you can. Spin it. Say they lied on you. Whatever you need to do. But you know, it's just not looking that. Chelsea's just not. Yeah. She's not
happening. She tries to say, oh, you know, maybe that was said. I can't even remember. It was so inconsequential, Eddie. Your feelings just
yeah.
This whole thing is just so inconsequential. I don't even remember if it happened or not. Maybe it did.
Dumbest response ever. Like, oh, well, like, you know, if I did say it, like, you know, I just, you know, that was then and this is now.
Taken out of context and exaggerated, probably. So.
Girl.
Oh, man. And Eddie, afterwards, Eddie's just like, and so she's like, so this is like no big deal, right? And he's like, I don't know. I just kind of feel hurt about it. And she's like, I'm sorry. It's just this whole Kira thing is throwing me. I got to go talk to Kira about this. And he's like, well, but don't expose what I just like. It's just all kinds of bad. So still so laser focused on the Kira thing. So then Sam is going to talk with Kira, and Kira lets Sam know about the hand signals. So guys, they're working together. We got to do something about it. Yes, we got to do something about it. Let's get Eddie out. So Sam knows about the hand signals. Sam has more confirmation about this potential guys thing. This is going to continue amping up the tension between Sam and Adam during the day. And they are going to eventually get into a bit of a tiff here where they talk about how, hey, you chirped at me. You chirped at me. And I chirped, but you couldn't handle the chirp. No, my chirp wasn't a real chirp. It was a fake chirp. It was a joke chirp. Stop chirping. You couldn't handle the chirps. You can't handle the chirps. Seriously, I'm not even exaggerating. They say the word chirps that often because they're like basically angry at each other and being passive aggressive and making passive aggressive comments. And they call those passive aggressive comments chirps as a way to, I guess, defang them from being passive aggressive comments and more just like, no, they're just lighthearted chirps, but no, these are dark-hearted chirps, or they're mean chirps, or light chirps, or some kind of chirps, one way or the other. And they have lots. And then Adam's like, well, if you chirp like this all the time in real life, then I don't know what's going on. And so she's like, whoa, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, I don't know. It's like you just throw me under the bus, and like you know, you just like you chirping all the time, and I just don't know how to handle that. And she's like, well, oh, so now I'm just chirping all the time, and that's how I am in real life, huh? And yeah, it's just that's a bunch of nonsense, these two.
It's a bunch of angry birds right there.
Yeah.
Crazy. Honestly, I feel like chirp should be the new term for a subtweet on Twitter. Like when you're trying to, you know, talk crazy to somebody, but not really at them or anything, those should be chirps. Those shouldn't be designated as tweets. That's hilarious to me. I love how Showman says whenever they're in an argument, they'll bring out the, well, if this is how you are in the real world, I don't know what's going to happen. It's like, okay, so fine, you know?
Yeah. It's like, basically, I would not be with you if you acted like this, and yet you're acting like this, and I'm with you. So yeah, they get into that. They eventually kind of agree they would like Kiki out. Their target would be Kiki if they won. So watch out, Kiki in the double eviction. Anyway, Chelsea is going to campaign to Kiki and Esty. It's going to be a long campaign, and it's going to be more of the same. You'd think after the revelation about the guys' alliance, after the revelation about Kira throwing Chelsea under the bus, that her pitch would be changed in some way, but it's not. It is just more of Adam, 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 and keep me, keep me, keep me, and I've got a shadow. And it does not go anywhere. Kiki and Essie are completely unfazed by this. Really, the only result of this conversation is that after Chelsea leaves, they're kind of like, eh. Adam is kind of everything she's saying about Adam. We should get Adam out soon. Maybe Adam is more of a threat than we thought. And then Anthony comes in and he's like, hey guys, so how's it going? What are you thinking? And they're like, we're thinking about Adam. And he's like, nah, don't think about Adam. Adam's not a threat. He's somebody that you want to keep in for a long time. He's a big target. He's going to keep you safe. And they're like, you know, thinking about it, Adam is a big target and he's going to keep us safe. We want to keep Adam in. He's like, yeah, Sam is really smart. We want to get Sam out. Ah, yeah, you know what? Sam is really smart. We want to get Sam out. And he's like, good, good, good talk, guys. Let's talk later. And they're like, yeah, let's talk later. And then, you know, that entire Chelsea to Anthony thing is just completely neutralized. And I didn't even need to say it, but I thought it was funny.
Great. There'll be a quiz later, you know? So who are we going after? You got it. Like, it's so ridiculous. It really is. Is it Anthony? Is he just that good, or is it just SMG or dumb? I really can't understand it.
They were talking about like Esty and Kiki, really, I mean, really just not helping with the Britney comparisons, because Britney and Monet would do this all the time too, which is like talk about everything, all of the other house guests, and trash talk them. And they were talking about like who's got the best, who do you think would be best in bed? You know, who's the best looking? And they, you know, Kiki in particular is really smitten with Anthony. She thinks he's a very attractive man. I don't think she has like a crush on him by any means, not like a Kira crush, but mm-hmm. She'll also talk about it later with Sam and stuff. Like it, she just looks at him and she melts. He just melts him. He's got something.
Oh man. You know, I guess every season I truly underestimate just how much attractiveness does help you out so much in a game like this. It, you know, sometimes if you like somebody, if you are just feeling them and just feeling the thirst all up in your bones, that's just all you really need sometimes. They can tell you anything and you're just like, yeah, you know, And then when you watch it back and you look at how you're behaving, it's got to be the most cringeworthy thing to be like, oh, I was so stupid. What was it? What was I thinking? But in the moment, you really, you know, good for Anthony. Good that he is, I don't know if he's doing it on purpose, but good that he is capitalizing on this, energy that Kiki is giving and Esty that is giving. It's, you know, it's pretty boys in full effect.
Yeah. Speaking of thirsting and crushing, Kiki also talks with Mark last night. Obviously they're destined for a showmance. They have another one of the like most awkward and weird and interesting conversations of the feeds, where they're just like they hate each other, but also like maybe Mark kind of likes her. She certainly thinks he does. She will later portray this conversation to be like, oh, he basically admitted that he liked me and he was like super into me, which was exaggerated, but maybe it is slightly true, but also not exactly what happened, and it's hard to tell. He kind of doesn't like her very much. After she left, he was like he's super frustrated with her, and she's super frustrated with him, but they're still trying to work with each other, and he might even be trying to get Dane out of the house so that he can have his relationships with them be the thing that holds him through or whatever. But I don't know, the whole thing is very awkward, and they can't even end the conversation properly, where to be fair, Kiki has this problem with other people too, but they are less awkward in general, so it's not as obvious. But she has a really hard time ending conversations. She like, you know, that's we're good here, and time to, and so normally that just kind of like that's how it ends. But Mark, of course, is like, all right, can you make it any more awkward, Kiki? And he's like, oh, can you be more of an asshole? And he's like, I don't know. And and he's like shirtless in bed, so he's like, hey, cover up, Mark, Canada's watching. And then he's like, all right, just I can tell you want to get out of here, so just get out of here. And she's like, all right, bye.
It's like a freaking SNL sketch. Like, I have this friend that actually is very similar to Kiki in that whenever I'm texting her, like, I'll be like, okay, to end the conversation. And then she'll text back, okay. And then I'm like, all right, well, bye. She's like, bye then. It's very, especially in, like, in this game, like, that just makes it so hard to talk to you. Like, in a social game, that just seems very, 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 very bad. And I mean, all right, girl. Like, yeah. But Mark is also just an awkward ass person in general. So
it's two very awkward people interacting in a very awkward way, and they don't like each other. Like, sometimes when there's two awkward people that like each other and they're interacting, it's like awkward, but kind of in a cute way. These two people kind of hate each other, and they're both really awkward, and they're interacting, and it's still kind of cute, but it's also really funny and uncomfortable.
I just feel like unless Mark is talking about something that he's super duper interested in or telling one of his stories, the conversation is hogwash. It's just very like, I think he's a very cerebral guy. That we got that from his interviews before the show. So I think that sort of is translating in a very awkward way when he's having conversations, especially with Kiki. So.
And it's funny because he had that one moment a couple nights ago where he broke through and things were looking positive for their relationship. And the next day they were just kind of like hanging out and being cool. But then, of course, he can't help himself. And eventually he's annoying and she can't help herself and showing how annoyed she is with him. And it dissolved from there. And now they still hate each other again. But then again, she's relaying this conversation like, oh, Mark, he's so into me that it makes them kind of trust him a little more because they think he's so into her that he would never do anything against them. When, you know, meanwhile, Dane is telling multiple people throughout the day, like, yeah, go after Kiki and Estia. That's fine. In fact, probably a good thing. Wrong reads. Yeah. Anyway, Mark is going to talk to the cameras some more. And it's still kind of vague what he's talking. He's talking about triple evictions, going after you know who and you know who, and putting up some people and turning on alliances and reshaping the house. And it's like he clearly has some kind of plan to eventually go after the pretty boys, in particular Dane and Anthony. But I still don't know when. I still don't think it's going to be the double eviction. I feel like he probably has some plans down the road. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I just don't know enough of what's going on in his head. I feel like he's probably talked to the cameras a lot more than we've seen. And so he feels like he's having a dialogue with us, referring to things that he thinks that we know about, but we don't, right? Because we haven't seen those parts. And so we're getting like weird fragments of his plan. And so like when he said he's a walking dead man, if I went HOH, maybe he was talking about like during the triple eviction, which is like 5 weeks from now. And we would know that because we heard about his plan for the triple eviction earlier. So it's still very confusing. But I guess, you know, it's theoretically possible that Mark puts up Dane and Anthony in the double eviction if he wins. I still doubt it. It's still an incredibly stupid thing to do. But don't count it out because it's hard to get a grasp of exactly what his plan is here.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I was wondering in my head, I was like, why, for people that are super fans, you would think that we would get cam talk so much more often. But I'm like, there probably are talking to the cameras. It's just that they're probably not showing it on the feeds as much as we would like. I still, this is all news to me. I still haven't seen anything on Twitter about it. But I would hope that he would go after them in the double eviction, because that would just be fire ass feeds. But it would be stupid for his game. But I mean, triple eviction, that does sound like the proper time to actually go for it, because I feel like if anybody is going to go first in that alliance, he's probably the most likely person to. So he should be thinking about what he needs to do in order to secure his place over pretty much all, you know, all three of them, really. I don't know why Adam isn't included in his plan.
The way to do it is in the triple eviction, you put up Anthony, Dane, and Adam. That's how you do it. Otherwise, you're going to be screwed because there's going to be two other people who are cunning for you, who can win HOHs very easily and have a lot of influence in the house. But if you take two of them out at once down the road after you've been carried that far and you're good at competitions and the rest of the people will realize that there was a guy's thing going on, like that's the way to go about this. And maybe that's what he's thinking. That would certainly make a lot more sense.
How fire that would be if you got three targets out at once. Like, you automatically enter the top 10 best players. Like, that is just that's crazy. That's crazy. I need it to happen now. Yeah. I need it to happen.
All right. Finally, there was a bit of an argument between Chelsea and Adam, where Adam was kind of confronting her about, like, don't me under the bus, and like I don't like what you're doing. And she's
like, newbie, actually.
Thank you. She was just like, well, I don't, I'm not throwing you under the bus. And if I am, I'm sorry. Then I'm just trying to point out what everybody else sees, and it's very sort of like, sometimes when Adam gets into arguments, he just like smiles through the whole thing. So it's kind of like he's upset, but not really. And Chelsea's like not really sure how to respond to what's going on. And he's kind of like, well, like, you know, if you're using us as votes, and you know, like, then you, I don't know, if you're throwing us under the bus and you need like other votes. And she's like, well, if you're not going to vote for me, then that's fine. Just not vote for me. He's like, I don't know what I'm saying. And it's like, it's a lot of, you know, nonsense here. It doesn't really go anywhere, but I thought it was a funny argument.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much spent the entire day trashing his name, and when you're getting confronted about it, there's no escape route for you. So that conversation really is very fruitless. You know what, Taryn? You know, normally you and Matt had that beautiful podcast about, you know, being very, you know, treating house guests with kindness and people on reality TV with kindness. And I am so for that. But in the same breath, let her have it on the interview. Give her all those questions. Because honestly, this is ridiculous. It really is. And I mean, thankfully I'm able to, you know, sort of, I mean, I think we're all able to learn from something like this. Like, if you are a fan of the game and you really want to play, this is what not to do. But honestly, it's hard to watch. It really is.
Well, any interview stuff, it will be kind-hearted chirping is what will happen, if anything.
Yeah, chirp the hell out of her.
No. It's asking her questions that are poignant to her circumstances.
Right, of course.
That may or may not qualify as chirping. I'm not sure because I don't really know the definition of chirping.
I'm not telling Taryn to go and kill the girl, guys. I'm just saying, like, the people have answers that need people have questions that need answers.
Yes. All right. Anything else that we need to bring up, Iman?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then tomorrow night, we will be live after the double eviction to talk about everything that goes down. Lots of possibilities here, actually. Certainly, a lot of them are, there's like two that are the most likely. Sam could be leaving. Eddie could be leaving. That's two of the more likely outcomes. But we could also see Kiki leave. Kiki is a target of Adam and Sam. We could theoretically see Kira leave, if the shot misses Sam and doesn't want to go to Eddie, or if Eddie gets the HOH, Eddie could definitely be going after Sam and Adam, or maybe Kira as well. It could be pushed off to there. I think that Corey and Damien are okay, but never completely safe. Yeah.
Corey is fine right now.
Yes, and then theoretically, even Mark could maybe win, and he does have a pretty good shot at winning. If it's questions, he's got those nailed. He could theoretically be putting up Dane and Anthony on the block. Again, I don't really think so. I don't think he would do that this soon. It would be incredibly dumb, but boy, would it cause fireworks. So be prepared for anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always excited for the double eviction. I mean, we're historically double evictions usually don't go well, but I mean, because of the fact that there are so many ways that this could go, I'm excited. I think we're in a seemingly predictable situation. This double eviction does throw a lot of things out of whack. So I'm very interested to see how this all pans out. And I might not even wait for the spoilers, or I might just forgo the spoilers and just watch it live just to feel it.
I think that's the right way to go. I think, especially for double evictions, normally I'll watch this. I'll watch out for the spoilers, but double evictions, because usually you know kind of what's going to happen, right? So spoilers are mostly like confirmation, like okay, that person did get voted out. But right. With a double eviction, so many different possibilities, and if it's something you don't like, then you're just going to spend the whole episode dreading it. And if it's something you do like, then it's been ruined for you. So I definitely recommend for the double eviction just. Take a day off of social media and just try and wait it out.
Double eviction, baby.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Aman, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as well at Aman Adwin.
All right. And you can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. And thank you for joining us. See you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.